Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, count me down.
Are we recording?
Count me down.
Are
yes, we're recording.
Actually, I want to start something different. As the CEO, we are doing it.
What are you doing?
We're doing it now.
What?
We're changing things up.
What?
Things have begun too lackadaisical around here. It's a new sheriff in town. Chris, count me down.
Do I have to?
Do you want your
job? Is this an order?
Do you want your job?
Is this an order?
Yes. Yes.
Three, two, one.
Now you take it.
I gotta count myself down?
Count yourself down, yes.
Three, two, one. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Very good.
I'm afraid to ask. Brian, how's your day going?
You know, I'm the newly appointed CEO. You know, every day is a blessing, you know? I was at the gym earlier.
Yeah.
Walking on the treadmill, watching Sopranos on my Kindle.
Are you still doing weights or are you taking off your back?
I'm gonna get into yoga. I have to. My back's jacked up, man.
Back's jacked.
I might get a referral. I might go to the VA, get a referral to go see, get an MRI.
Can Dr. Pennington do that for you?
What?
Get a referral to go get an MRI, or does
it? Well, if I go to the VA, I don't have to pay for it. Boom.
Mm.
You gotta get a referral. And that's something, if you're a veteran listening, you don't understand how the VA clinic works, you're not alone, I don't either, but I just found out from a practicing physician that if you get a referral, like you say, if you need an MRI, you can go take the referral to the doctor, and you get an MRI for, you know, VA pays for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Tell me about
now,
that.
Is the trick getting the VA to say you need the referral?
Well, the trick is getting in the VA within a month.
All right, cool, man. Well, I guess it's not cool. We are here today with...
Real quick, before you get started, I'm sorry.
Sure.
If we could address the whole man thing, I prefer sir. Just throwing that out there.
Sir?
Yeah, yeah. You just call me man, and that's the old way of doing things. Right now, it's going to be sir.
All right, sir. Well, today we have with us Paul Janish, owner of Janish Home Inspection. Paul has over 30 years of experience in facility management, construction, and renovation. Paul, welcome to the Jones Zone 2.0, I guess,
thank
now
you.
That Brian's in
thank
charge.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Jeez. So that was...
You can watch your attitude a little bit. That'd be great.
I just got kind of caught off guard. Paul, I hate that it's awkward.
No, that's all right. It's a new organization.
Yeah. You know? New sheriff in town.
All right, man. I mean, sir. Sorry, Brian.
That's right, sir.
So, Paul, that was a real quick, brief introduction about who you are and what you do, but why don't you take some time and tell us a little bit of your backstory and some of your background and history and then how you got into...
Paul is the husband of BB, a previous guest.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's his own person, so I would
like
to hear
Paul's
story.
Yeah, but it's nice for the audience to know that.
All right, well,
you know,
true.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
Paul?
Well, I am married. BB is my wife, yes. Originally, I'm from South Dakota.
That's right.
Did we talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
What part of South Dakota?
Aberdeen!
How about that? You know, we grew up on Ellsworth.
Oh, that's
right outside Rapid.
Rapid City. We talked about that at the open house that time.
Yeah, the very first time we met at an open house.
Yeah.
And we just moved here.
That was in TKK, right? That open house?
Mm-hmm. TKK.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about that?
So, spent most of my life in South Dakota. Get married there. I have three kids. It's a great place to grow up.
How many people were in South Dakota? Aberdeen.
Aberdeen is only about little over 20,000.
Okay.
And it's the third largest city in
the... Is Rapid City number one, or is it Sioux Falls?
Sioux Falls number one.
Okay.
And
Rapid City little pop
two.
Quiz. In the town called Mitchell is known for having what?
The Corn Palace.
Corn Palace. Paul got it. Do you know that, Chris?
Of course I knew
that.
Okay.
South Dakota.
I won two, three on three basketball tournaments.
Huh? What about the basketball tournaments?
And Mitchell used to have a bunch of basketball tournaments outside the Corn Palace, and I won two of them with two of my friends.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So,
well, they have one NBA player, Mike Miller.
Mike Miller.
He was probably the best known player.
Yeah. He was. They don't make them like that in South Dakota very often.
No, not
6 foot
that.
6'8".
Yeah.
Running around, shooting the ball like he did and went to Florida.
Yeah.
All right, so you're a boy in South Dakota, then what's next? How'd you...
South Dakota, well, then you mentioned the VA after high school. I joined the Navy. Well, a quick thing about the Navy is when I went in, I had the recruiter handshake guarantee that we're going to get you 4 years of shore duty on the West Coast, and we're sending you to electronics school. And I was pumped. I joined. And after boot camp, I got my orders that... My orders said that I'm to report to a boilerman school, and I'm like, what's a boilerman? So I went, I think there's a mistake here. I'm supposed to be getting boilerman or a electronic school, and I have boilerman. They said, no, we've got enough electronic people.
Look,
we need someone.
This recruiter promised everyone that, okay? We ran out of spots.
National security requires you to be a boilerman, all right? Yeah. What?
So I ended up.
But I didn't want to be a boilerman.
Being a boilerman and on a ship.
What's a boilerman? I gotta know. What's a boilerman?
Well, you run these great big boilers, which power the ship, the steam.
All right. So right now I'm picturing Titanic. Anyone else? Like you're under the the coal and you're.
The coal, except now they're gas and fuel oil. So most of the time we ran fuel oil.
Gee whiz! At the bottom of one of the ships.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we were about at the very bottom. You had to take like 10 flights of stairs to the bottom.
Jeez. That's not one of Dante's levels, is it?
Did you ever get the West Coast? Did they at least
come? Never got to the West
this
Coast.
This recruiter, let me tell you something.
I was in the Norfolk and in the Mediterranean the whole time. But the one thing after I got out, because of my background as a boilerman, I found a job working with a hospital, which because hospitals have big boilers. For their heating and cooking and sterilizers and that.
Interesting.
So I started out in a hospital as a low-level maintenance worker and worked my way up, maintenance technician, senior technician. Went back to college with the GI Bill part-time while I was working full-time. And then was promoted to a projects manager, and that's when I got into remodeling projects and hiring carpenters and all these electricians and doing all the remodeling in the hospital. And then we got into bigger projects, even multi-million dollar additions we put on. So that was my background for where I was for about 30 years.
Jeez.
And you retired and came down here? Is that...
I wasn't retired, but I told my wife that, you know, when the kids are out of school, let's go somewhere warmer than South Dakota.
Yeah.
So when my daughter was in college, we made a move, and we both moved to Dallas, Texas. And we both got jobs working with hospitals. I was a director of facilities in Arlington, Medical Center of Arlington. And we were there for about 3 years, and then Bebe came home one day and said, she got a promotion at work. And I said, great, that's great. She said, only one catch, we have to move to Danville, Virginia.
Yeah.
And I said, where is Danville, Virginia?
Danville.
Some guy that named the town after himself.
Some guy named Dan who was,
Dan, what are you going to do with all that land you inherited? I guess I'll start my own town.
Yeah.
Call it Danville.
We'll call it Danville.
It's on the Dan River. It's about just a few miles from North Carolina border. So you only have to go about 2 miles and you're in North Carolina.
Okay.
But, And my job was the director of facilities at a hospital. Well, there's only one hospital in Danville, and that job was taken. So I contacted LifePoint, the company I worked with in Texas, and told them my story. And they wanted to know if I wanted to do interest in interim work. So my interim work took me all over the country. Any place that needed a director of facilities in a hospital, either because the other director was ill, they just let him go. Could be a number of reasons. That's where I would go to help them out.
So those were temporary jobs?
Yeah.
They put you in a hotel?
Yeah, they set me up pretty good.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing, you know, when you go there as a an interim, and they didn't like. Feel like you really know something.
That's great. What we need to do. Get people
to be interim realtors.
Yeah. Well, I just want to be put in a hotel room.
Yeah. I had a few. Almost every place I went, there was a few of the guys in maintenance that would say, "Excuse me," that would say, "Are you a corporate spy?
Undercover boss?"
Yeah. Like, maybe undercover guy. Of course not. Me no.
Yeah.
So
I did that for about 3 years, going to different hospitals.
Like so was that like hospitals. A Monday through Friday thing? You'd come home on the weekends?
Depending on where they were. Most of them I could. They were in Tennessee. I had a few of them. The farthest one they sent me to was in Elko, Nevada. You ever heard of Elko, Nevada?
No.
It's in between Reno and Salt Lake. And it's quite a interesting place in itself, in the fact that it's a city of about 30,000, and their three biggest incomes are gold mining, gambling, and prostitution.
Lovely.
Yeah.
What was the first one you said? Gambling?
Gambling.
Gold mining and prostitution.
Yeah, so everything was set up for that type of... It was a different attitude. It was a different... group of people.
Yeah, different group of people, for sure. That's putting it nicely.
Yeah, the first night I was there, the CEO of the hospital took me out for dinner. And we went to this really nice, it was about a over 100-year-old bar/restaurant. Originally it was a bar, and now it was a restaurant. It was very beautiful, had this big horseshoe bar made of wood. And on the bottom was this, like a little trough, probably 6 inches high, that came out from the floor, and it went the whole length around the bar, and water was running through it. I never saw anything like it. And I said, you know, what's this all about? Is this like was it a spittoon or something?
Mm-hmm.
Back, and he said, oh no, this was originally built for the gold miners. When they would come in, they could belly up to the bar and they wouldn't have to leave.
Oh wow.
So it was a built-in urinal at the bar.
Interesting.
Could you imagine living in those days with a cat?
I couldn't handle it. There's no way.
No AC, first of all.
Yeah.
I couldn't live.
Now, the thing is, you wouldn't know any different. So, like, little, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder, when she was running around, she didn't know AC would even exist, so she didn't really know she was missing out.
That's like us right now. Okay, so, talking to us 100 years from now, what's going to be that thing that we don't know what we're missing out on? Teleportation? You think we'll have that?
Yeah.
Technology? Could you imagine being able to teleport?
You mean you actually got in a vehicle to go somewhere?
I know. That's amazing. I hope it is. Yeah. I won't be around for it. Dang.
Yeah.
I don't know how fast it. Well, you know.
Could you imagine the awesomeness?
Your boy Elon Musk is doing something like that in California. You know that, right?
Well, I just read an email. His investors are leaving.
Apparently. Oh, really? It's like the underground. Not a railroad, but it's like an underground. Subway type of thing. It's supposed to go really, really fast.
I can see that could be a thing.
I would love to do that.
So you retired and came down to the Carolinas and opened up your own home inspection business?
I did. After I came back from my last big trip, it was one after Elko, I talked to a friend of mine and said, I'm just tired of this on the road stuff. And he said, you know what this town really needs is a good home inspector.
Oh, yeah?
And I kind of blew it off, but then I thought about it more when it was time to go back on the road again. And I did a little research, and I'm really glad that I did it.
You know? So did he, like, buy a new home, and the home inspector did a really bad job, so he was just, like, venting to you one day?
We need a home
inspector. You know what we need? You know what this town needs, Paul? We need a really good home inspector.
Well, he was a builder himself.
Oh, okay.
So he was flipping homes. Actually, he started out with landscaping business, and then he, to keep his people busy during the winter, he flipped houses, and then that led him into building new houses, which is basically what he did then. But he said, we need another few good home inspectors. And I really enjoyed it, because you know, the time you get to spend with the people, because it's an important thing, you know. It's a big deal. What I do is a big deal, and I think as realtors, it's a really big deal, because you know, buying a home is a big and one of your biggest investments ever.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and there's a lot of worry, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety that I could tell when people would I go to the house, and just to keep things calm, let them know that, you know, this is, everything's okay, and whatever you find wrong with the home too, you know, everything is fixable or replaceable.
So what areas of town do you serve? Are you primarily in Charlotte, or where all do you go out to?
I've been in Charlotte around the, not that, because I live in Ballantyne, I've been doing a lot of South Carolina.
Okay.
Fort Mill area, Rock Hill, TKK.
Have you seen anything like really crazy?
Really crazy bad?
Really crazy bad.
No. Well, one thing it made me think of is one of my homes I had in Virginia. It was a home that was built in like the middle 1800s. It was old. It was on a farmhouse. And what they had done to build this, it was a big old house, as they hand dug, they probably used shovels, but they hand dug the foundation, and then they put probably 4 feet high of flat stones all the way around the foundation. And then on top of that, they cut trees, logs, but they weren't logs, they were the actual trees. The bark was still on the trees, and they laid them across that foundation of stones up against each other. So the whole foundation of that home, which then they built the floor on top of those, was made out of trees.
Was it level?
It was pretty level, yes.
Wow.
They did it different back then.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Like,
see, that was probably Laura Ingalls' dad and his
buddies.
Just cut
down the trees, put it down there,
just
man.
Lay it flat, get the level out. It would be funny if they had, like, a current day level, like, it's, you know, like the 3 foot yellow level. All right, looks good.
Well, another thing they had was weird. In the crawl space, I found there was jars, big ball jars, full of different types of snakes. That they had pickled and were keeping in the crawl space.
They had pickled?
What?
Pickled.
Like to eat these things?
Well, just to preserve them, I think.
Like in formaldehyde or something?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's so weird, man.
That was weird.
Hate snakes.
Yeah.
So what services does Janish Home Inspection provide? You obviously do home inspections, but
yes,
what do. All, how do you break that down? What's under the home inspection umbrella?
Well, your traditional home inspection where a buyer is buying the home, where my client would be the buyer. Then we got the pre-sale inspection, where if you were thinking of selling your home and wanted to know what condition it was in and what type of things need to be addressed before you put it on the market, which I think is a great idea for people to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that one, the pre-sale. I also do new home inspections, because I think it's important to get your home inspected new, just because in this area homes are going up so fast, and just to be on top that everything is getting done by the development company is tough. Then of course you have your city inspectors and county inspectors, but they are so overwhelmed.
Yeah,
I don't know that for a fact from what I've been told, but that they're just so busy that they, a lot of homes, they can't even really spend much time going in for an inspection. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I'm sure they kind of have their minimum standards, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And
checklist, all right.
As long as it's functioning the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
I think we always recommend a third-party inspection for new construction.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of leave it up to them in terms of what part of the phase of the build they want to do it, but we always definitely recommend it, so... Man,
yeah,
a few $100 that could end up saving you a lot in the long run, and, mm-hmm. and also just give you that peace of mind that you're getting a product that was built with quality and all that in mm-hmm. mind. So,
sorry.
One thing I wanted to praise you on is we've used you recently a couple times, and we've gotten positive feedback just about your patience and your demeanor and your attitude with buyers and sellers.
So
can you just elaborate, what's your philosophy on customer service and taking care of these people?
And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's very stressful, you know, and just to be calm Nothing is a big deal. You know, keep things calm. If there's a problem with something, I'm sure it can be addressed. Yeah, that's probably the main thing.
It's just treating them like, you know.
Treat them like they want to be, you know, just tell me the facts. And I take my time with them also to show them some of the orientation of their house.
Meaning what? You tell them how the dishwasher works or the HVAC or what are some of the things that you do?
A little bit of all of that. Yeah. Like the main shutoffs in case there was an emergency, where you'd go to shut the water off. And same thing, an emergency where you'd shut the electricity off to the whole house. Then I go into I'm surprised, like I mentioned earlier, that a lot of people don't know how to run their thermostat. Well, ask me how the thermostat operates. So I'll go through that. And then one thing I like to point out is if their air conditioning system is a heat pump or a traditional air conditioning system, I'll explain that to them because a lot of people don't know the difference of that. And
so what is the difference?
An air conditioning system, which is your unit outside in the yard, the condensing unit, in the winter time, well, I'll back up again, that inside of heat pump, it's the same thing as that air conditioning unit, but it has a reversing valve inside. And in the winter, when you switch the heating mode, that reversing valve makes your compressor outside run in reverse. So you're using your air conditioning unit to heat your home. So normally when it's in the cooling mode, you're pumping the hot air out of the house. Because if you go out and feel over the top of that fan outside, that's blowing some really hot air up. But in the winter time, think of that in your house, it's blowing that hot air into your home. Mm-hmm. And it can only keep up heating by taking the hot air from outside and bringing it into the home to about 30 degrees outside, and then it won't be able to keep up. And at that point, it sends a signal to the furnace unit, which with a heat pump is usually an electric furnace, and it'll turn that on, so then both of them are on together to help heat the home.
What are some of the most common things listed on an inspection report that buyers should be aware of, and that also people looking to sell their home can do as part of, you know, preventative maintenance or taking care of that before they list it?
Most common. I would say one of the biggest things I find is toilets that are loose to the floor.
See that every
day. We get that on our whole
freaking...
Do you?
It's unbelievable. It's almost become a running joke. It's like, yeah, we got a couple more loose toilets.
Yeah. And the bad thing is if that toilet is loose, and so many times then when I go in the basement or the crawl space underneath that toilet, the subfloor underneath it is blackened because it's rotted.
You know what I'm really afraid of? When you just said subfloor, and that just made me think. I bathe up my girls every night. And the thing, like, so when I go to shampoo Bristol's hair, she leans over the freaking bathtub. So I'm like,
on the floor?
No, like the bathtub. She's in the bathtub, yeah. And she leans over it when I'm shampooing her hair. So the water is dripping all through the tub. I actually yelled at Brenda like 2 months ago. I was like, you're gonna ruin the subfloor.
She's like, wait, what? So she's got her head hanging over.
Yes.
And water's dripping onto the floor.
Whenever I like, I'm trying to shampoo her hair. If I sit her down in the tub, she freaks out. So I just have to like. Yeah. Do it.
You just need to mash her face over the, you know, the toilet.
Yeah.
And then, the bathtub.
Yeah.
But yeah, I yelled at Brenda like 2 months ago. I was like, you're going to ruin the subfloor by doing that.
Well, and it will. Especially if it's sheet vinyl flooring, too.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. So many.
Now that I'm CEO, I might go marble flooring.
Sheet vinyl. And if there's a gap between the sheet vinyl where it meets the bathtub, well, that's where all that water is going to go, right in that little groove.
Okay, I can as well save up a couple grand to fix that, I know.
Do you have any tips for preventing a loose toilet, or is that just something that happens with people sitting and getting up and getting down?
Yes, I would, you know, periodically, once a year or so, just go up and take the sides of the toilet and try to rock it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will do it with their with their legs on them, like your knees. Mm-hmm. Just walk up to it and kind of grab it with your knees and just rattle it
back
and
forth. Such a simple fix.
See if it moves. And if you can catch it soon enough, you can just tighten the bolts on the side, the two bolts.
Right. Yeah,
but if it gets so bad that it's been rocking for a while and then water has been leaking around it and on down into the subfloor, then at that point, the only way to repair it is to actually pull the toilet, take it off the floor, examine it to see if you have subfloor damage. If you do, repair it. And then to put a new wax ring on it. And then set your toilet back and tighten it back up.
What are you telling people they should do in order to keep their heating and cool? We were talking about the HVAC earlier, but any tips or tricks to kind of keep that heating and that cooling bill down?
Well, not too long ago, this last winter, I had a person that I did a pre-sale for. And he said part of the reason he was selling his house is because his heating bill was between $550 and $600 a month.
Jeez.
And he had a heat pump. And on a heat pump, you can tell pretty much right away when you look. Well, like two ways to see if it's a heat pump. You can look inside the outside unit and you can see that reversing valve. It looks like a pipe about 2 inches around that's about 6 inches long. And the other way is to take a look at your thermostat in the house, because it'll have cooling, off, heat, and emergency heat, or they just put EM. And well, the reason that's on there is if you put that on emergency heat, it'll completely bypass your heat pump outside, or it would reverse that compressor and run to heat your home. It will completely bypass that, and all it will do is run those electric coils in your electric furnace. Mm. And it's like a giant bathroom heater that you're heating your whole house with. And that's what he had his on. And I told him, you flip that over to the heat mode, and it will, then right away his unit started outside. And that kind of, people don't understand that either, is, you know, your air conditioning unit outside is going to run in the winter with a heat pump, because that's what it is.
Wow.
Using your air conditioning unit as a heat pump.
Okay.
So that was one thing. Make sure that you have a heat pump unit.
But you're running it right.
The only time I don't know exactly why you'd even want that emergency heat, unless that unit outside died completely and you needed some additional heating in the winter so you wouldn't freeze pipes or anything.
How long does a typical inspection take you?
It takes me quite a while. I spend about 3 to 4 hours doing an inspection.
And then how long does it take to get the actual report back?
I normally will get that report back to the person the same day, that evening.
Yeah, I think you got ours back the same.
Yeah. After I get done, I go home and get the report done and send it out that evening, or you just...
I go home, I have a nice cold beer, and then I start go to work. I don't know how you do it in the summer, man. You're climbing into attics and getting into crawl spaces and basements. And
yeah, crawl spaces and attics. I'm getting on the roof. I try to get on the roof when I can, too.
I'd rather get on the roof than go in an attic or crawl space.
Yeah.
That's close. Mm-hmm. Is the roof's really hot. And safety, dude. You could fall off.
I'd rather risk it than crawl underneath a house where raccoons can eat me alive.
You come into contact with a lot of critters?
Snakes, mice. No, I ain't doing that. Spider webs. Nice. I'd rather fall off a roof than be underneath a house cornered with other mammals.
I went into an older home where I opened up the attic and went and just put my head up in there and was turning my light on, and I heard us...
What was it?
A couple bats
flying
around?
And I looked up, and there had to have been 10 or 12 bats that were flying around when they saw my light.
This was in the attic?
So at that point, you contact the homeowner. I couldn't access the attic.
Your attic's great. Looks great.
I don't have rabies insurance.
And we go by the standards of practice. Each state has a standard of practice that we follow. And one of them is if it's not safe to enter an area, we're not required to do so.
Yeah,
so that was a very brief attic inspection.
You guys do radon testing?
I do radon testing, yes.
What about, how do you do the radon test? We had David Storm of Radon Solutions. He was awesome. How do you typically do all your radon stuff?
I use the charcoal canister type. Yeah. That's what I prefer,
I think that's what he
and
does,
And it's an independent lab that I send those to, and I always do a double
Hawkins
test.
Hawkins Lab?
Which lab?
That's a joke. Hawkins Lab is Stranger Things. I'm all over the place.
That went over my head.
Yeah, Hawkins.
It might have been Hawkins Lab.
You never know.
It's a company I use is out of New York. And they test and get the results back to me usually within the next day.
Why would you even eat that right now?
I don't know.
Brian's about to put a piece of hard candy in. We're doing a radio show, for crying out loud.
Well, he wasn't crinkling the wrapper over the microphone.
Trying to get it in.
He's trying to secretly open up a piece of candy. Do you guys do well inspections?
I do not do a well inspection, no.
Okay. Cool, man.
I had to tell you, yesterday I had a home inspection. And when I got there, the owners were there, and it was two little old ladies.
Aww.
Yeah, and one was, they were sisters, and one of them was 90 and the other one was 92.
Oh, jeez. Could you imagine us at 92 and 90, Brian?
No.
Well, you could live together.
We can be, we'll be teleporting. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. So the one lady who was 90 said, well, I got to run. I got to do some errands. So she and had this little cane, gets into her car and takes off.
Wow. She's driving?
Yeah.
Wow.
That surprised me. And then the other one that was 92, she said to me, would you like some coffee? And I said, no, I need to keep doing my inspection. And then she said, well, would you like some chocolate cake?
And I guess I got a minute.
Yeah.
I said, no, that's all right. Thank you, but I'm going to keep going with the inspection. And she said, well, you've been working here for like 2 hours already. She said, I think you need to sit down and just take a little break. Well, that told me that she just wanted to visit a little bit.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll sit down and visit with her. And she started telling me her story. And she's 92. Her husband passed away a few years ago. And her grandkids got her onto Facebook. And from Facebook, she saw where a schoolmate that she went to school with many, many, many years ago in high school was ill. So she sent him a message. And she said, well, so one message leads to another, and now we got married. So you got married last year.
Through
You're
Facebook.
Talking about so class of 1922.
There may be a market for that, Chris. Yeah. Let's look into that. dating app for the elderly.
Is that why they're selling their homes, so she can move in with her new husband?
No, she was just there visiting her younger sister. And her sister is moving to somewhere in Texas, Austin, Texas, I think she told me to be near her. She has three sons that all live in that area.
Wow.
So it's interesting just to visit with people. And then, of course, my buyer comes along after I'm in the house about 3 hours, and we go through things with him, and he's a very interesting guy. And he's telling me about he's working with the Habitat for Humanities.
Okay.
And an electrician, but he's 81.
What? I mean, was this home in nursing community?
What kind of messages is the universe sending me today? That I can live a long time.
Yeah, probably.
Be active.
Wow.
And he said he still is. They'll call him for Habitat for Humanity to take a look at the electrical items. And he said, but then I drive up in my golf cart, and he said, and I don't have a tool bag, but I have a tool tray that he takes in.
Tool tray.
Nice.
So that was interesting.
All right, Paul. Well, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to kind of take us home. Just kind of recap what you do and what areas you serve and how people can get in touch with you.
Great. Well, Janish Home Inspections. I'm proud that I'm very thorough in my inspections, spend a great deal of time with my client, take a very good look at your home, give a very good report. I serve the Charlotte area, and South Carolina also. And you can contact me at Janish Home Inspections.
That's J-A-N-I-S-H.
Yep. And my email is pjinspections@gmail.com. And my phone number is 434-770-0602. And I'd love to look it over your home with you, and I know you'll get a good inspection from me.
Very good. Paul Janish, Janish Homes Inspections. Thank you.
I'm going in for it now.
Thank you. Thank you. Going in for the candy. Can't wait.
There you go.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.